is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show on the UR Business Network. This is Elizabeth Ziyemba, and I'm here today with my co-host, Irving Stackpole.
This is Irving Stackpole, and I'm here today with our guest, Trevor Gunn. Dr. Gunn is the Managing Director of International Relations for Medtronic, the largest biomedical equipment company in the world. And we're talking today very gratefully with Dr. Gunn from an airport. So welcome, Dr. Gunn.
Well, thank you, Irving.
So I'm sure that our audience will be keen to know what Medtronic's position is around the global proliferation of biomedical equipment and biomedical devices. And as I understand it, you're very much at the juncture of those things, the global markets and your company. How do you see the proliferation of biomedical equipment and devices as enabling international healthcare?
Well, I think at the core, Irving, we need to speak about universal healthcare access, which we're very much in favor of. That is getting technology to all who need them, all around the world, and basically enabling an environment whereby that actually happens. Obviously, technology isn't enough. Healthcare is what's it being delivered, and technology is a facilitation tool in order to sort of get to that objective. But the reality is, of course, around the world, patients are suffering of non-communicable diseases. About 80% of the world's patients that are suffering from non-communicable diseases are in emerging countries, particularly those countries that do not have well-developed healthcare systems, nor do they have the type of access to technology that we do. So I believe that fundamentally, you know, our mission to get technology to all patients and families who need that technology is intertwined with the discussion around medical tourism. A practical point, people are not traveling around the world for conditions like the common cold.
Right.
They're traveling for conditions that are very advanced, usually require technology, and thus there's a very intimate linkage between the two.
One of the interesting shifts that has occurred recently is a reversal of the pattern of people traveling from developing economies to the developed economies, like people traveling to the United States, people traveling to the United Kingdom. And now more people are traveling from those developed countries to those developing economies that you're referencing. What pressure does that shift in migration put on healthcare systems? And how does technology help or hinder that?
Well, I think, you know, to a certain extent, I'd say technology is neutral in the discussion. You previously talked about our taking a position in these type of issues, and I'm not entirely sure that we have a position. Our position is that, you know, families, no matter what, or patients, deserve information related to and access to technology. Certainly there's a, you know, I would say that without technology, without access to technology in emerging countries, one specific implication here would be that, you know, healthcare hospitals are just walls with a bunch of people running around. Without a doctor that has access to technologies that are more or less on par with other healthcare systems, patients and families simply are not going to get access, no matter where they may travel in the world, to those technologies. So that's what I would say is one direct implication, you know, of your question.
In your experience, or can you see in the future that medical travel from developed countries to developing nations, does that travel encourage or facilitate the acquisition of services, the development of services in the developing countries, such that the residents of that destination developing country benefit?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it benefits in several ways. First of all, we've talked a lot about, you know, access to technology, because basically they're suffering from the same exact disease states that we are, largely, in emerging countries. So to be able to get access to the information and for those particular technologies is huge and allows for the proper development of healthcare systems that, you know, that has multiple positive impacts. It increases the competitiveness. I mean, access to the right technologies, the right doctors, the right infrastructure leads to, again, that particular location being seen as a destination for medical travel, as opposed to a country where people are exiting that country because of the lack of technology in that same infrastructure. Number two, I think that it has direct implications for economic growth. If you're building a healthcare system and do not have access to doctors, like much of Africa, and the right type of technologies, you see that healthcare budgets, the small healthcare budgets that exist, are often being dedicated to people being treated in other countries for conditions where they should be actually treated at home. So it's an economic growth issue as well, for those particular countries, and deeply a competitiveness issue that finance economy ministers, aside from others, are deeply worried about.
Certainly the issue of social equity, finding that what I call the delicate balance between providing services through the public sector to your domestic population, as opposed to providing services to...
I'm sorry to say, you're very faint. I can't make out what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Irving.
No, I apologize, Elizabeth. If you could just maybe get closer to the microphone.
No, we need to make some adjustments. So that's okay. Go ahead, Irving.
I know you can edit, so I'm sorry to kind of jump in.
No, that's fine. That's good.
I might be answering the wrong question.
That would not be fine. Go ahead.
Well, I think where Elizabeth was going is that in the realm of international medical travel, the issue for destination countries and destination systems is social equity. So you have a private system within the public system serving a population at a level of care which may be perceived by the individuals in that country as inequitable. And I was wondering if you see that developing, or have you seen that played out in some of the destinations where you've worked?
So I have sometimes, not frequently, but and let me see, make sure that we're talking about the same thing here. Let's say the public system, or the health minister who was looking over the needs of the public healthcare system of target country A, say in Africa, is complaining of the the development of a private healthcare system sort of alongside his or her public healthcare system, which is drawing resources away from the public healthcare, what is perceived to be the healthcare. Is that a correct interpretation of the question?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So, I mean, though I've heard of that argument before, the reality is, let's say in an African context and many other countries in the world, the reality is that the vast majority of healthcare services actually already being delivered by the private sector, where in many of these countries, the public healthcare sector is simply, to say it in the least, is inefficacious. And the reality is the inability, what that actually creates is, in my view, an even less equitable system, because only the people that truly have access to not only get care, but also to travel and to bring their families with them, which is, in my personal view, very, very important to people when they're traveling. Not only think about the patient, but they think about the holistic cost of wellness, right? Which usually includes bringing their families with them.
Right.
You're actually creating a morally system that fewer people have access to, if you don't allow the proper development of healthcare system in that particular country. So though I can't, point to specific statistics, on inequities or perceived inequities. But the reality is, I believe that the reverse, which is forcing patients and their families to leave their country because you do not have a properly developed healthcare system, is a gross inequity in its own right.
So it seems like some cross-border healthcare travel is due to the hydraulics of inequity, where other cross-border healthcare is simply due to money finding the best available care or people finding access to affordable care in a category that they're seeking. Do you think that that's a
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're simply people are, like you said, I mean, particularly, you know, I would say in even those countries where, you know, they're perceived to have relatively well-developed healthcare systems, at least for medical tourists. Let's take in India, you know, the moment that Sonia Gandhi was herself sick, where did she go but to the United States for her procedure, right? Because there's a perception of excellence and a pursuit of excellence and, again, that can equally be, I think, an argument for people to leave, and I would say a legitimate argument, as opposed to the other one, which is people being forced to leave because of the I would call it health system's strengthening failure.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So in this global scenario where you have increasing consumerism that's being developed on the back of greater information sharing. People have access to information now that they historically have not had access to. And easier global travel. How can countries – how can we start to build a more equitable exchange between and among countries around access? You started the conversation by talking about your commitment and your and Medtronic's commitment to universal access. So how can we promulgate that high ideal?
Well, I think to a certain extent, it comes down to metrics that we over time might have a much more shared sort of like here in the United States, to be clear, we have, you know, rating systems of different hospitals, i.e. they're in essence rating, though they're not perhaps rating cost as much as they are quality or perceived quality. The reality is that we have a lot more measurement, and the Affordable Care Act calls on a lot more of that type of measurement to actually take place. The reality is, I think that oftentimes patients or families that are helping to make those decisions for patients or lack those kind of sort of global metrics. Mm-hmm. You can say maybe one of them, and I'm just throwing this out, is the absence or the presence of accreditation of a particular hospital, or, you know, which you're, you know, okay, let's say by the Joint Commission or by, you know, De Norske Veritas, DNI. Sorry, DNV out of Norway, whatever, or local accreditation systems. That might be one way to do it, but that would, again, enable from a sort of hospital by hospital, or maybe healthcare system by healthcare system, much more of that sort of an analog. But you're right. I mean, it's the leveling of information exists. I mean, we find, if I just talk about technology for a second here, we find actually that there's a much deeper knowledge in many emerging countries of our technologies than we actually find here in the United States. And, you know, why is that? Because I think to a certain extent, we have a very deep trust of the doctors who recommend, and that what they're recommending is actually the right thing. Mm-hmm. But in the final analysis, a better educated consumer when it comes to healthcare choices in general, be it technology, be it healthcare, is a real value to us. And we're going to thrive in that environment, like I think that the patient is going to thrive in that environment. And so we see in some of these healthcare systems that the families have done web searches on our technologies across the board, and they come back ultimately much better educated than even in emerged countries, which I think is actually very, very, very exciting. But it needs to happen across the board and to have much more sort of global metrics when it comes to sort of healthcare delivery, expected healthcare delivery outcomes, and other such metrics of quality.
Fascinating. It makes me think of Africa and how far Africa has to come for development purposes. Elizabeth and I were at a conference in Dubai last year, and we heard a very good presentation by a young entrepreneur in Nigeria, whom I believe was also a medical doctor. And he was talking about how those in the West might look down on the Nigerian healthcare system. But he said, in the land of the one-eyed – in the land of the blind, the one-eyed king rules.
The one-eyed man is king.
I butchered that. So in this presentation by the Nigerian doctor in Dubai, he made the statement that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So if Nigerians have a healthcare system which is measurably, observably, or perceptibly better than exists in Eastern or Western Africa, it will become, all things being equal, a destination in those in that region. So do you see Africa as a part of your global development plan?
Absolutely. No, and I completely agree. And Nigeria is a very good case in point for a lot of the things that we could say here, because they've only got literally one, I think we spotted one extra one maybe, cardiac cath lab, which is central to stents, is central to pacemakers, it's central to, you know, cardiac surgeries, et cetera. And it's the most prominent non-communicable disease, which Nigeria has already turned, right? They've got more non-communicable disease in Nigeria than they do actually communicable disease, i.e. HIV, AIDS, or TB, or Ebola. They've been, in fact, declared Ebola-free. Yes, I mean, I think that that's absolutely Nigeria and Africa to a certain extent. If we are very sincere, and I know that we are, about our mission, which is to figure out all possible ways to get technology to all who need them, Africa is absolutely the epicenter of our mission. And that means, beyond what we've already talked about, Irving and Elizabeth, that we need to be a partner in developing infrastructure. So if they've got two cath labs or one cath lab, and they should have something, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a number, close to 100 cath labs
right,
with the type of population. We need to be a partner in development of hard infrastructure, building those cath labs. We need to be a partner in retaining doctors, educating those doctors, and bringing them to world-class levels. If all of that happens, then absolutely, Nigeria, from not only perception but reality, becomes a destination, unquestionably, particularly for West Africa, but certainly for other places in Africa, in one fell swoop, more or less.
Well, once again, Trevor, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been a very enlightening conversation, and I would sincerely welcome the opportunity to have you back on the Medical Travel Show to delve more deeply into some of these issues, and so that we can get Elizabeth's microphone fixed so that she can participate in the conversation as well. For those in the audience who would like to reach you and further ask questions or to make suggestions, can you tell us how folks can reach you?
Sure. It's, my email address is just like my name, Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, @Medtronic, MEDTRONIC.com would be the easiest way.
Well, super. Well, thank you again very much for taking the time. I know you're in transit, and we really appreciate your taking the time to do this. Our guest today has been Trevor Gunn. Dr. Gunn is the Managing Director for International Relations with Medtronic. And this is Irving Stackpole, and for my co-host.
This is Elizabeth Ziyamba, and you've been listening to the Medical Travel Show on the UR Business Network. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the UR Business Network. Broadcasting from Woburn, Mass.